Well, phrasing a saying that J. Vernon McGee has, if you didn't tell somebody, would they know that you're a Christian? I ask myself that all the time about me. If somebody followed me for a week and a half, 2 weeks, would they know that I'm a Christian? Anyway, with that in mind, John chapter 3. It's kind of hard for me to put this together because every time I reach for a verse, I'd have to look in the mirror. And I say, wow. And then I turn the television on and I say, well, you know, I'm not so bad. But in John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus about a new birth, and he brings Nicodemus back to a place he should have been familiar with, is the Old Testament. He says this in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 16, it simply says God so loved the world. Now think about that. God loved the world that needed saving because they were all reprobates, murderers, whoremongers, you name it, religious. So God decided to leave heaven for one purpose, to save mankind. And the only motivation behind that was love. God so loved the world, he gave. So I guess you'd say love is always a gift, right? Now, how often you hear Christians say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, that's easy to say if you don't have to give anything, right? But God says, I'm going to prove to you how much I really love you. As Billy sang this morning, and Miss Betty, the very ones that were screaming, if you be the Son of God, get yourself down, he says, forgiven. The very ones that crucify him, forgiven. Now, is that love? Is that love? But my goodness, if somebody look at us wrong, you forget about me forgiving you. I'll never forgive you. Boy, that's a perfect picture of love, isn't it? God, the man who created everything, the man who made everything, simply says, I'm going to forgive those misfits that I created. Because apart from my love, they can never, ever commune with God. Ever. Sin and God do not mix. So he sent the Son through love to do a work that none of us could do. God so loved the world. Fast forward to John chapter 13. Just to get an idea of what God loves look like versus what our love look like. See, I mean, you can turn on HBO and see, look at all kinds of love, right? And in 2 minutes after that kind of love comes a divorce, right? So it's far from eternal, right? In John chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, everybody's there? When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then loved them when he got back to heaven, because he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for these he loved, right? Man, this kind of stuff makes me feel bad. Since as I love you, you should love the brother, right? How well do we do that? Man, the greatest evidence in the world of true love is action, right? It's action. Now, look at Romans chapter 5. It said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believed. So if he loved the world, he had to love us when we were totally ungodly, right? Well, that's the point Paul makes in Romans chapter 5. In verse 6, it's amazing how religious people, and I know we got family members that's full of religion, and I hope none of us is full of religion, but the Bible said when you were without strength. So if you're in religion, you still got no strength. Look at what he says in Romans 5, 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, Paul said, when I was a murderer, I was persecuting his church. I had no strength. I thought I had strength, but I was weak. Paul says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who else would he have died for? That's all he had to die for. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that if he died for all, guess what? Then all were dead. That's you, that's me. We were all dead in trespasses and sin. But the love of God was manifested through Christ. And not only did he saved us, he came and hung out with us for 33 years. See, you want to see what God looked like? Look at me. Look at me. The adulterous woman. Neither do I condemn you. You want to see what God look at? Look at me. Now, you got me living on the inside of you. You ought to be able to bear some of these fruits, right? Not produce them, because you can't produce agape love. God is the producer. We can bear it. Paul said, man, you was without strength. He said, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Now that's sarcasm, because Paul knew there was no righteous. Yet peradventure for a good man, some even would dare die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And watch, here's the much more justification. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If when we were enemies without strength, we will reconcile to God the right to come and accept God's reconciliation, moving into his resurrected life. Paul says, reconciled by the death of Christ, not much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his resurrected life. So there ought to be some fruit. And the fruit is love. I mean, it's okay. We can talk about predestination, sanctification, glorification. Paul said, oh, that's good, man. That's nice. But what about love? Paul said, how do you love your brother? How do you love? If I love the world, man, you should be able to love your brother, right? At least. You know, I always say that in kidnappings for ransom, before the ransom is paid, you want proof of life. But God paid the ransom and said, now y'all show me proof of life. But you're going to have to let me do it. That's why Paul used words like, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives on the inside of me. And we saw the love that Paul showed. I said, man, I robbed other churches. I didn't ask y'all for nothing. I worked a hell of a job. I didn't ask you to come and tithe and so that I could have a chariot with horses. Miss Betty, why you laughing? And a couple of jets. And I didn't ask you for none of that stuff. I just asked you to come and hear what I say about the cross. Hear me give you my testimony from where I was to where I am. You say, oh, but I can't. Well, God said, I've shed forth the love of God through the Spirit in you. Yes, we can. Of course we can. And Paul's going to tell us why in a minute. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Without strength, had no strength whatsoever. Man, we were all dead in Adam. Going about our business, doing the things that made us happy, made us content, we thought made us happy. But we didn't have an ounce of joy. You can be unhappy, but you can't be unjoy. Second Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 21. I want you to get your head around this, and when you do, I want y'all to explain it to me. Because I can't. I just preach it, but don't ask me to overly explain it, because I can't. Verse 21. Paul talking about believers here. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become, I said first or second? Y'all not listening. I said 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Here God takes his son and make him sin for us. And he never knew no sin. That's why he went back to the Father, because the sacrifice was perfect. But he took our sin. He took our sin debt on him. And he paid it that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the love producer right there. Man, it's amazing. And you look at TV today, and man, the very ones who cry, you know, oh, I'm a Christian and I know God, especially the ones in D.C., I'm saying you're all lying. None of y'all know God from a can of paint. Because you're full of hatred. If y'all think I'm lying, let the Biden organization come up with a cure-all for the whole world. No problem. Inflation's at an all-time low. Everybody's got a job. The Republicans will never accept that and flip the script. Let the Republicans come up with a perfect, they will never accept it, because it's about our gang, it's about our group, it's about our herd, it's not about y'all. We didn't come up with the idea. You ever seen a Congress or a Senate that if you're on the other side of the aisle, you lambast this guy all the time? President ain't doing this. He ain't doing this. And you can go back to the very first president. Now, it wasn't as bad back then, but it was bad. It's not about us coming together and doing what's best for the American people. It's us coming together and let us do something that we think, or let us tell them that we did this for their benefit. And boy, I'm so glad that it's coming out now. All the crooks are being exposed. I mean, the big crooks. Because the little crooks, they're never going to be exposed because they got their little herd over here, and this one got their herd over here, and it got us totally separated. And it's such a shame. Such a shame. Because there's no godly love. There's no conviction of wrong. You know, this is not wrong. We've been doing this for years. It's not wrong. If you know what the love of God is, we know it's wrong. Paul said, look, man, God so loved you, you need to learn how to love. I need to learn how to love. Man, I catch myself sometimes judging people, and I got to slap myself and say, who do you think you are? But love prevents all that. And Paul's going to show us. Romans chapter 13. Look in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. And I think Paul really understood this much better than all the other apostles. Maybe John, I don't know. But Paul understood this because he knew where God bought him from. Paul said, that had to be love, because I would have sent me to hell. But God reached down and saved me. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, Paul says this, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that love another has fulfilled the law. What law? A new law I give unto you, love one another. You want to fulfill the law? Love. Man, can you imagine? Now, I want you all to close your eyes and imagine this, because it's going to take a strong imagination. Let's say the world had this kind of love. No police. No armies. No burglar alarms. No safes in the bank. Can you imagine? Man, he said, army, what's an army? Police, what's a police? But God said, look, learn this love. Learn what this love is. Now, he gave us a good idea what it is. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, God came and he tabernacled among us in the person of his son. And the time that he spent here on earth, he showed us in living color what love looks like. Think about it. God walked the earth and took all the manure that mankind had to throw at him and didn't kill him. Wouldn't have did it with me? You know what I was saying? Do you know who I am? Drop dead. But he never did that. Never did that. When I get in these discussions about other religions, I always ask them, what does your God look like? How do you know? Does he love you? Does he care? Is he concerned? Could you hang out with him? And God gave us all those answers to Christ. Can you imagine dealing with the Pharisees 30-some years, the Sadducees 30-some years, the us 33 years? Because we were nothing but the Gentiles, nothing but pagans. But God said, y'all are my purpose. That's why I came here. That's why I came to dwell among you, to show you what I'm like. To try and convince you that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you don't believe, you just believe in the works that I do. Could we say that as Christians? I mean, we cannot say that as Christians. Ephesians chapter 3. Look in verse 8. Paul lays it out. Now watch how he lays it out. One thing about love, you know what it is? It's humility. Watch what Paul says here. Unto me, who am I less of the least of the saints? Well, Paul, you had a whole bunch of books in the New Testament. You call yourself less than me? Paul said, yes, I am. I don't deserve none of this. He said, is this grace given to me? Well, Paul explained why. Because it's all by grace. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Creator hanging out among men, live and in living color. He didn't part the clouds and yell down, hey, I love y'all down there, but y'all need to get it together. The Bible says he came down in tabernacle among us. Verse 10, to the intent that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, not just a back end, but we can have boldness with confidence, he says, by the faith of him, by his faithfulness, faithful to the cross and through it. And now I'm seated in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places with him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause, Paul's about to pray now, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Be strengthened by the righteous part of you, the Spirit, not by the flesh. So only one part of you that's righteous, that's the inner man that God gives you the moment you believe. He comes to live on the inside of you. Now that's your teacher, the inner man. Well, how are you going to be strengthened, Paul? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded where in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So you want to know the love of Christ? Because the proof of the love of Christ is the Spirit in the inner man producing love in and through us to other people. And people say, oh, well, how to be filled with the Spirit? Well, he's about to tell you, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Understand God's love and let it translate to other people. Now, to him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Now, think about that. If you're having problems with understanding this, he said, just ask me. I can do exceeding above more than you ask or think, according to the power that works in us, that Spirit in the inner man. That's the power that's working in us. It's nothing more than the authority that God has given us the moment we believe. That's the power. It's not you going out speaking to some mountain. But you can go out and love somebody. He says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. However many ages there is to come, this will go right through. Love. Love, love. You know, it's a humbling thing. And let's look at the number one guy. Fast forward to Philippians. And let's see how love humbles people. Man, it feels so good when I can forgive somebody that I know that just hammered me. But I have to walk away saying, thank you, Lord, because the exterior man ain't got no love for that person. But the new me, that's why Paul said, if I forgive anything, I forgive in Christ. I can't do it in the flesh. I have to do it in Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes this, If therefore be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, of fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, with all these words, any consolation, any comfort, any fellowship. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, in the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Now, if we're going to one accord, we got one spirit, right? One Lord. If that's be the accord that we all are on, Paul simply says, man, you're halfway there. You are halfway there. Now watch what he goes on to say in verse 3. He said, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory and lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, does that look like love? It's better. You want me to look at you a little bit better than me? Man, you think you can do that in the flesh? Well, I'm here to tell you, you can't. You really can't. But God says, look, you want it done. I can do it through you. I can love through you. I can teach you how to love. Man, this is the toughest part of Christianity, I promise you. I can tell you about sanctification, glorification. I can tell you all that's a promise. That's going to happen. But love don't necessarily have to happen if you don't allow it to or you don't want it to. You have to be full with the knowledge of God's love for you. It's not that you loved him, but that he loved you first. When we understand that principle, then we can start to get a little glimpse of what love looks like. Think about it, agape love. An unconditional love. Based on nothing that you've done, based on everything that he did. I so loved you. You didn't come hunting for me. Dead man can't hunt. So I'm the living God. I came to look for you to give you life so that you can now have fellowship or intercourse. That's a tough word, but that's what it means. That's how personable it is. So if you're going to have fellowship with me, then we're going to love. We're simply going to love. I'm not going to go to Ephesians to read about what he says to the husbands about the wives, because, boy, that's a tough one. Love your wife like Christ loved the church, right? How many divorces will we have? You think we'd have a divorce if that happened? Because we would say, I forgive you. Right? So what, you bought 20 pair of shoes? Hit him in the trunk. Well, I used to always find them. My wife would say, oh, that was over a period of time. Yeah, Saturday. But think about it. Think about it. God so loved the world, he gave. Not that he gave, guess what? He's still giving. He said, I'm going to give until I come back to redeem you, because if I don't continually give, you would still be doomed. Then it wouldn't be eternal life. But since I promised you eternal life, I got to keep giving. It's a promise. Verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also after the things of others. Paul said, yeah, look out for yourself, but also look out for things of others, right? And now here's the clincher. If you think love ain't humility, watch what Paul says here. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Boy, is that humility and love? How long would I have lasted here on earth being God and not acting like God? 2 seconds. I said, partner, you talking to me? You talking about nailing me to a cross? And I came to save you? You out of here. But not one time. Never less than God. But never acted like anything more than man. Now flip the script. We are nothing, but we act like we're more than God. He humbled himself. Well, love is humility. Because I guarantee you, if somebody bawled you out on the street corner now and then, it's going to take some humility for you to get through that. You can't punch him out. So what do? He said, Lord, I know who I am. I know whose I am. So I'm going to put a couple of coals on his head. I'm not going to react. That would be the flesh. And man, how many times I've heard God say, what about me? How did I treat you? You know, over and over. That's why the Bible said, man, it's a matter of renewing the mind. It's over and over and over renewing the mind. Oh, I got a right to do this. God said, well, what did I have a right to do? I had a right to stay in heaven. Mind my own business. Just to be eternal like I always was. And let y'all go to hell. But I humbled myself. And I came and I lived among the degradation. I lived among sinful people. I lived among people who tried to do nothing but destroy me. They called me a wine bibber. They called me a liar. They called me an insurrectionist. They called me all that. But yet I went to the cross for all that. Is that humility? That is humility. Made himself of no reputation. Man, I ain't laying out my reputation for nobody. And if God had said that through Christ, we'd all be hell bound. Humble himself. Even to the death of the cross. Remember now what we read just now. He became sin for us who knew no sin. that we might become the righteous of God. Man, how powerful is that? Is that love or is that love? Is that just saying, hey, gang, I love y'all. Do the best you can. See y'all in hell. Now let's look at love magnified. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Ain't gonna have time to get through it. I might finish it next week. But here, God is dealing with Christians who is magnifying a gift and totally forgot about the love of the giver. So if you want to get a big picture of love, go here and look at it. They were concerned about, oh, I got the gift. I can speak in tongues. I can do this. I can do this. And it's like God is screaming and saying, what about love? Because if y'all had love, you wouldn't walk on this guy when he got up to so-called speaking tongues, or you wouldn't jump up and cut this guy off if you had love. So y'all say y'all interested in doctrine, but love is my greatest doctrine. Oh, we got this and we can do it. 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 3. Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that sounds like love, don't it? And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profits me nothing. Love suffered long and is kind. Envied not. Don't boast in itself. Don't talk about what I got, the gift I got. Man, I can do this. I can speak in tongues. I can prophesy. Paul said, man, what about love? Love don't vaunt itself, the chest stuck out saying, look at me, how great I am. You know, look around today. Look at television. I'm talking about the quote-unquote Christian world. I want y'all to notice one thing. Everybody that comes on TV, supposedly preaching, and I notice this. What do you find in the front of their name? Dr. So-and-so. That means so much to them. Because what that tells you, don't mess with him because, man, he's a doctor. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. Letters of accommodation. You know, in the old days that these guys would go and their letters would go in front of them, how great they are, so y'all listen to them. Well, today, the letters in front of these guys, Dr. So-and-so, probably went to some cemetery right around the corner that is liberal as I don't know what, but they got doctor in front of their name. Look at how many. You will not see one guy, if it's not doctrine, it's reverend. Ain't much of a difference. See, no love. Love if you send, if you pledge, $1,000? If you plant the seed of $1,000, we love you to death. We're going to send you something free. Well, if I just sent you $1,000, you're going to send me a book. Is it free? And what are you teaching? Zero, zilch. Nada. Listen to about a year, you might hear one of them give the gospel. And I'm not talking about all of them, because you got about five. That many? Maybe. Maybe five. But the rest of them, it's about how great I am. Send this money to my ministry. My ministry. I started this thing. But Paul said, look, man, love never, look in verse 8. He says, love never fail. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now let me ask you the question here. Paul, you saying prophecy is going to fail? Well, if you look at the Greek word, it's going to be done away with. It's going to be rendered useless. Because when God completes the Bible, all the prophecy is done. That's what he's saying. Paul said, why would you hang up on this gift that's going to fade away? But love and faith will remain. He said, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Done away with. It's like a record playing, you know, and it slowly gets lower and lower, and then after it's gone off. Going to be done. These were all sign gifts. So you can't have sign gifts and walk by faith. That's an oxymoronic statement. I can see signs and wonders, but faith is the substance of things hoped for but not seen. So now if Christ, way back in the book of Matthew, so you ask for a sign, there'd be no more signs. The last sign is what? I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days, three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish. That's your last sign. So when I get up, it's going to be by faith. And these gifts were put in the early church exclusively for the Jew. They required a sign. You go back and you read some of the books, some of the chapters in Isaiah, and fast forward to the New Testament, you see exactly what he's talking about. Well, he's talking about he's gonna unstop the ears of the deaf. Well, you go in the Gospels and you see exactly where he did that. He's going to heal the lame. He's going to leap for joy. Did that not happen at the pool? But it's going to be done away with. Oh, this was temporary. Temporary. I said, look, y'all designed the wrong stuff. Y'all designed the stuff that's going to fade away, but I'm trying to give you stuff that's eternal. That's going to last forever. Because when you believe it and you do it as God, allow God to do it in and through us, you'll see it again at the judgment seat of Christ. But you, if you want to be judged by your works, no, Paul said, look, man, desire those things which is everlasting. And then we say what that which remain is faith, hope, and love. Well, the pundits say, well, that's talking about heaven when that which is perfect has come. It's talking about heaven. Well, it's not talking about heaven. Not if faith, love remains, because Peter tells us when Christ come back, faith will be fulfilled. You won't need no faith once you get to heaven with a glorified body. Come on, give me a break. You going to church every Sunday? And I'll show y'all next week how it all played out. How Paul absolutely said that we're talking about love here. We're talking about the greatest of all the gifts is love. God so loved us, we ought to love the brethren. Man, it's a hard lesson for me. Maybe y'all love 24/7. Maybe y'all need to hang out with some of y'all, because, and don't let me watch the news in the evening. I see a lot of people that I find it hard to love. But I said, Lord, you know, I don't even know this person. And I think he's got a God problem. And I don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying, I don't. What you illustrate to me seems like you got a God problem, because you, I get tired of hearing y'all lie on God. Oh, God is on our side. Well, God was on the side of the whole world, but the world ain't on the side of him. Now I know what he meant. Well, I know how Jonah felt when Christ sent him to preach to the Ninevites. I probably would ask the same question. Lord, you know where you're sending me? See, I'm sending you to somebody who looks like the old you. But I missed that part. See, I'm looking at me because I am now filled with the love of God. I'm filled with Christ. But if I dare look back, I would run to Nineveh. But anyway, Paul said, love is the greatest. Jesus Christ himself says, love is the greatest. And I showed y'all what my love looked like. He said, I had the highest ranking in the heavens because I was God. So in John 17, he said, restore me back to where I was before I had to go through all this embarrassment, humiliation. But I did it. I finished the work. Because you so loved the world, that's why you sent me. Now let's get back together and become one again. So let's learn how to love. And we can only do that if we understand God's love for us. So that's what he says. It's not that you love me, but that I love you first. Anyway, Lord, we thank you for loving us so much, Lord, that you left your board to hang out among us just to show us what you were like. The Bible said you came full of grace and truth. And you dwell among us to display that grace and truth. And you simply said, no man can come to the Father except through me. We believe that, Lord, and we've made the choice to go through you. And Lord, since we've done that, Lord, I just pray that you will continually fill our heart with love. That is the type of love that you'd have us show to the world. And Lord, when we look at the world, we see that love is missing. That is your love, not the kind of crazy love that goes on every day, Lord. And I don't know, just let us share that love that you have for us. And again, Lord, we just thank you that we can have boldness and we can rest assured that you'll never leave nor forsake. Those are the type of things that produce love. When I think of the times I do the stuff that I know disappoints you, I know that you're not pleased with, and you never, ever stop loving me. You snatch me and bring me right back into fellowship. And I thank you, Lord, so much. And this is all because of the love that you had for us. And Lord, we thank you for that vessel. That vessel was your son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.